The James Croft Evangelistic Association presents Walking with a Giant, a monthly broadcast ministry of 3 foot 10 inch tall evangelist James Croft. Now, here's James.
Boy, am I excited! This is James Croft, and welcome to Walking with the Giant. Man, we have got a full program for you today, so don't miss one single second. Coming up next, we'll be traveling to Ghana, West Africa, and talking with Evangelist Ralph. From there, we'll go to Dublin, Ireland, and visit with Jack and Allie on Spin 103.8. I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. We'll also give you an update on the ministry, and we'll have part three of our message on the rock. Don't go away.
Time now for the Ghana Update. Bringing light to the dark continent, Evangelist Raphael Aji Kingbe shares the gospel of Jesus Christ in Ghana, West Africa.
I'm on the telephone now with Evangelist Ralph from Teshi Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Ralph, welcome into the program again.
It's a pleasure, Papa. It's a pleasure and exciting.
Ralph, intercessory prayer time. What a great program you've started there. And we've been able to forward some prayer requests to you. Let me mention to our listeners that if you have a prayer request that you would like us to be in prayer for here with our program and our ministry, as well as with Ralph's ministry in Ghana, email it to evangelist@jamescroft.org or go to the website, jamescroft.org, and visit the guest book and post it there. And we'll send Ralph an email each week, and we'll make sure that those requests are prayed for. Tell us about how the intercessory prayer time is going.
Papa, it is going on well, and we have even added Friday to it, so we have Mondays and Fridays.
2 days now. Outstanding. And what kind of results have you been seeing?
Papa, there was one lady who had pain in the back in the spinal cord, and Papa, miraculously, God has healed her of that pain, Papa.
Praise God. What kind of crowds, how many people do you have on your prayer team now?
Papa, we are about 30 now, Papa.
I'm sorry, how many again?
30, 30.
30, outstanding. And you started with what?
Yeah, we started with 10.
10 people, and now it's tripled in size. That is outstanding. You've got another great program that's coming up, I believe, is it the 22nd of April?
Yes, Papa.
And what is this program going to be? I understand it's a youth program.
Yeah. All the students at the Juno Secondary School will be writing their final year examination. So we are gathering them before the examination for prayer and then the fasting and then praise, Papa.
Now, when you say the general secondary school in the United States, that would be the same as our high school, right?
Yes, Papa.
So this will be the students that are getting ready to graduate. Over here, we would say graduate high school and move into the university system.
Yes, Papa.
Now, what will you do at this meeting that you're going to have?
We have a prayer time, and we present the gospel to them, Papa.
And how many people are you expecting?
Papa, almost the years now, we had more than 1,000 students. And you see, the more the schools, the more the students. So we are going to have about 1,000 plus.
Oh, my goodness. Now, this will be at the Presbyterian Church Auditorium, correct?
Sure.
Now, that will only seat about, what, 700 people, something like that?
Sure, Papa. That will only seat about 700. So what we do is we have to go and hire canopies and chairs, additional canopies and chairs, and raise canopies at the side of the church premises, Papa.
Now, that's outstanding that you have to have an overflow space. When you get the students there, what is going to be your main emphasis to those students that day?
Papa, the main emphasis is about knowing Christ.
Amen.
Giving their life to Christ, Papa.
Now, Easter brings about special services all around the world for Christians who believe in our resurrected Savior. But you're planning something very different in Teshi this year leading up to Easter. Tell me about that.
Papa, what I am planning is there's one community I've located, and we are planning to hold Easter crusade, 3 days crusade, starting from Wednesday, Thursday, and then the Good Friday at that community. And then we are going to hold a crusade there to preach about Christ to them, Papa.
Now, this particular community that you've chosen, why did you choose that particular area to do this crusade?
Papa, there have been a lot of weed smokers and those who smoke Indian herbs, and then those
now,
who are...
Now, when you say, let me interject here, when you say weed smokers, is that cigarettes or is that drugs of some sort?
Yeah, Papa, it is not cigarette. It's higher than cigarette.
Okay, so it is a drug. In the U.S., we hear people smoking marijuana, which is...
That's right. That's right. That is marijuana, Papa.
Okay, same thing then. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, you, of course, not smoking the weed is very good, but you know what I mean. Okay, and so there's a lot of drugs in that area. What else is prominent in that area that's made you choose this site?
Yeah, there have been a lot of teenage pregnancy. That is the young ones going to having pregnancy, and environmental influences in that community, Papa.
So there's a lot of demonic activity in that neighborhood.
Sure.
Now, Ralph, how do we need to pray? What do the people listening to this program need to specifically pray for about that particular three-day crusade?
Papa, they have to pray for God to rain down His power, power of conviction. And then number two, they have to pray for God to give us the grace to minister to the people, and that as possible, I pray that I may make known the mysteries of the gospel, and then we have to pray for God to bless us with finances, Papa.
Amen. Amen. Ralph, let's do a quick prayer right now before we close. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for Evangelist Ralph and his team that ministers in Teshi. God, I pray that you be with them as they continue their intercessory prayer time. I pray that you be with them as they do the special service for the youth that will be graduating school. And Father, we pray for power that can only come from above for the crusade that will be held in this particular neighborhood. God, lift them up, use them, strengthen them, give them mighty, mighty words that will touch hearts where it is needed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's talk.
Okay.
Let's talk.
Thank you.
What do you got to say?
It's time now for Talking with the Giant. Here's James.
Normally on this section of the program, you hear me interviewing someone involved in ministry. But this month, the table has turned. On Tuesday, March 28, I was interviewed by Jack and Allie, hosts of Spin Talk on Spin Talk 103.8 Radio in Dublin, Ireland. We're going to play a piece of that interview for you today. I must say, it's a lot different being on the other side of the microphone. You'll probably be able to tell I was a little bit nervous at the beginning, but then began to loosen up as time went on. Spin 103.8 is not a Christian radio station. In fact, some of the subjects that Jack and Allie cover, well, you definitely would not find those on Christian radio these days. I must say that both of them were very professional, and they made the interview very easy, and they stuck to the subject. They let me share Jesus even while on their program, and I appreciate that so much. Let's give a listen to part of the interview.
Well, exactly what do you want to know?
I want to know all about you, James.
Well,
we've got a long time.
Back in 1958. I'm 3'10" tall. So if I was in your country, I guess I'd be one of the wee ones, the little leprechaun.
So quite
small. But that has never been a problem. But I do evangelism. I'm a minister in the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and do a lot of revival preaching, some international preaching. We have a ministry in Ghana, West Africa, that we work with there, and I've traveled over there three times and conducted crusades and conferences there, as well as throughout the southeastern United States. And we just recently began a podcast ministry.
Now, James, when did you decide to become an evangelist, or did you always just know?
No. I got saved and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior at a very early age in a vacation Bible school here in the United States. But it wasn't until I was in my mid-30s that I started feeling led by the Spirit that might be the area I needed to be in. So I ran from it for a while. I had
you
no
did
problem.
A bit of running now. Come on, James.
Yeah, I didn't have any problem with preachers because I was a Christian and I attended church and worked in the church, but I just didn't feel like God could really use me. And so finally on December 4th of 1994, after what I would call speaking in churches, I would never even say I was preaching, but after speaking in churches, I finally publicly surrendered that the Lord had indeed called me to preach the gospel, and I've been going ever since.
Now, did part of your decision come from stand-up comedy?
Yeah.
Because I saw you were a stand-up, and I was thinking, God, maybe that wasn't going well, and you thought, I need some help, and you started praying a lot at that point.
Well, you know what? There was a lot of those days. You know, you hear the old joke we used to have around it, you know, thousands of comedians starving and somebody's trying to be funny. And that can really be applicable from time to time. I did make it all the way to the Grand Ole Opry and did one time on the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. I thought I was going to be in the United States. Jerry Clower was a great country comedian, and I just knew I was going to be the next Jerry Clower. But I think the Lord just had other plans. Every career that I've had has basically been a preparation for ministry. And I use a lot of comedy in my sermons. And I think it puts people at ease.
To an example of that, because, you know, that is one of the biggest problems people have with Christianity in this country as well, is they feel it's not being applied in a way that they can, you know, take in easily or that maybe deals with their life. But as a stand-up, it would have to be.
Exactly. If we can't make, as a minister of the gospel, if we can't make the gospel be in such a clear, concise way that it can be applied to a person's life, then we haven't done our job.
Come on, give us some Christian comedy, please.
Well, a lot of my comedy really has to do with myself. I often will joke with people that on the subject of baptism, because I am a Southern Baptist, but I preach in a lot of different denominations, but we believe in full immersion baptism, in the baptismal waters. And I joke with people that when I was baptized, they just used the kitchen sink because that was the best thing to fit me. And I'll make a lot of references to my height and various ways during the messages.
Sort of what? You know, I look up to God because I didn't have a choice, that type
of
thing?
Well, of course. Exactly. you know, or when I'm talking about trying to be an encouragement to others, hey, understand, I'll always look up to you, you know.
There you go.
And, you know, so you are somebody, and you're even more so in God's eyes.
Well, that's great. And how did you get into going to Ghana?
You know, that was a strange thing. I received a telephone call one morning about 6 a.m. our time, and I heard a very strange voice on the other end saying, I'm looking for the evangelist James Croft. And I thought, now, who in the world is playing a joke on me at this time of the morning?
Exactly.
And I said, yeah, this is James. And he said, I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thought, okay, none of my friends are going to play that kind of a joke. So I said, okay. And he told me his name was Evangelist Raphael G. Kingby from Ghana, West Africa, and that they had found my website. They go to an internet cafe quite frequently and do email and surf the web. And he said they had found my website and had followed my schedule for about the previous 4 months. And they had begun praying about holding a large-scale crusade in Ghana. And they just felt like one night the Lord laid it on their heart to give me a call that I would be the man to come and conduct that crusade. And so it took about 3 or 4 months to put it all together, and myself and a team of musicians made the first trip, and God just blessed it tremendously.
And when you say musicians, like what kind of music?
Well, this was a praise group that sings American praise and worship style music.
Well, look, thanks for taking some time out to us. I know you're doing some podcasting as well.
Yes, and we're real excited about that. It's a 30-minute monthly program. My background is in radio also. I used to be a disc jockey and do the news, and at a small station you do it all. And so I put the disc jockey role back into play in the ministry, and we produce a 30-minute monthly program that's actually like an audio newsletter about the ministry. And it will include each month an interview with Evangelist Ralph, because we still support that ministry there in Ghana. It will have interviews with other people involved in the ministry. And then there will be a little bit of preaching on there, about a 6 to 8 minute clip of one of my sermons. And then an update of the ministry of, you know, exactly what's happening with this this organization and what we would like people to be in prayer about the next month. And
now,
who knows, you guys may be on there this next month.
Oh, good stuff, good stuff.
All right,
okay.
we're going to record this.
Well, hello to everybody in Ghana, and hello to everybody in James' ministry.
Well, yes. And we thank you. We just appreciate the opportunity. Can I mention the website?
Sure.
All right, my ministry website is just jamescroft.org. And if you want to go straight to where you can find the podcast and information about that and the download information, it's walkingwiththegiant.org. In radio, I was known as James the Giant. I wonder why. I wonder why.
No, you tell
so
me, James.
So we just play off of that.
No, it's great. Now, you tell me, do you have, let's say, a mantra for today for us?
You know, I think today in the United States, our biggest problem that we're facing is political correctness, that we've, as Christians, have gotten so afraid to take a stand for what we believe in, and we've let it go by the wayside. And I think we're seeing some of the churches fall off in attendance, and I think that Jesus said in the New Testament, if you're ashamed to confess me before men, I'll be ashamed to confess you before the Father in heaven. And I think Christians today, more than ever, with everything that's happening in the world today, the times are drawing to a close, and we need to be not ashamed to profess the gospel, and we need to be ready to take a stand for Jesus at any point.
James the Giant, thanks for talking to us today on Spin 103.8.
Time now for a Giant update. Here's what's happening in the ministry of the Giant.
Tuesday, March 14th, was an important day for James Croft Evangelistic Association. It's the day that this ministry became incorporated in the state of Florida. And over the next couple of months, I'll tell you more about what the corporation will be doing and the board of directors. Coming up in the month of April, some things we need to really take note of. Of course, Easter Sunday, April 16th. I'll be preaching two services that day at 10:45 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. at Huntsville Baptist Church, which is located at 5720 Northwest Lake Jeffrey Road in Lake City, Florida. Saturday, April 22nd is Earth Day. You know, we need to remember that we are to be good stewards of God's planet. Sunday, May the 7th, is Internet Evangelism Day, and I'll be telling you more about that on next month's podcast, but go ahead and be in prayer for that. Sunday, May the 7th, is also the day I begin revival services at New River Baptist Church, which is located at 16703 Southwest 144th Avenue in Brooker, Florida. The Sunday services will be at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then continue at 7 p.m. nightly through Wednesday, May the 10th. I also want to remind you to send us your prayer requests. Just email them to evangelist@jamescroft.org, and I'll make sure that I pray for you, and I'll send it to Evangelist Ralph in Ghana, and he'll take it before the intercessory prayer group there each week also. Please be in prayer for all these services we mentioned, as well as any new additions that may come along and all the ministry opportunities. You may check the latest details at jamescroft.org. Also, for daily updates about this ministry, visit our blog site at walkingwiththegiantblog.org.
Words these days are cheap, but there are words that last forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let's get into that eternal Word now.
If you're excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning, would you say, boy, am I excited? In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, for this reason, this is Paul speaking, and he says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. I'm going to tell you something. We have security in Jesus Christ. I am a Southern Baptist that believes the once saved, always saved. You know what? You may call it eternal security of the believer. It all means the same thing. I believe if you have truly come, now listen to me, if you have truly come to Jesus Christ, confessing your sins, admitting that you were lost, asking him to come into your heart and to save you from your sins, I believe if you truly meant that with all your heart, that there is not a power on this earth or a power to come that is strong enough to take you out of the hand of God.
I believe he's got you. I believe he's got you. Yo, my star is alive. You know what? The Bible tells us, in fact, if you look in the book of John in chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, you see about where we have been placed in the hand of God. And it says that nothing is able to snatch us out of his hand. I want to tell you something else too, if you're not quite ready to believe that. Do you remember when Peter finally admitted that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah? And remember how Jesus told him, he said, "On this rock I'll build my church." Remember what he said? And he said, "And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." All right, now I want you to think about this. You know what? Contrary to popular belief, Peter was not the first pope. I know that's not politically correct to say it, but I'm just going to tell you. He was not the first pope, and he was not building his church upon the pope or upon Peter. If you read the scripture in its original text, it's talking about that he was going to name him Peter, which is a small stone. And he said, and upon that small stone, which is the faith that we should have, then he is going to build his church, and it would be the mighty stone. So now listen to me. Who is the church of God? It is all born again believers, past, present, and should the Lord tarry, those that will come in the future. All right, we all make up, if we're saved, the church of God. Jesus has said that, what? I'm going to base that upon your faith, the rock. And it's going to be on the chief cornerstone. It's going to be on me, okay? And if it is built on me, that the gates of Hades cannot prevail against it. In other words, the devil can have no control over taking you off the rock of Jesus. Y'all, that's something to say amen about. You see, I believe we have security. If we don't, then you know what? We live in a doctrine of fear. I mean, how would I know? All right, when have I sinned enough that I'm no longer saved anymore? I mean, is there like a point? I've asked people who believe they can lose their salvation. I said, well, tell me then, when is it that you know you're now lost all over again and you got to get saved again? Exactly. You see, they can't tell me. Well, if I commit 10 sins in a row, does that mean that, well, you know what? I got news for y'all, and I got news for you. We all sin every day. And according to my Bible, there is no sin that's greater than another sin. Sin is sin in the eyes of God, and sin cannot come into the presence of a holy God. So how is it that we can continue to live in sin as we do every day, even though we may be coming to church, even though we may be ministering for Jesus, even though we may be a preacher of the gospel? How is it that we can then continue to sin and still be saved? It's because, first of all, we're founded on the rock of Jesus, and nothing can prevail against it, you see, and we put our faith and trust in him, and we have security. That's how we can keep on doing it. And what else? Because all of our sins are covered by the blood of Christ. My star is alive. We have stability and we have security. And I believe it, because when you look over in the book of Titus in verse 2, it says that God cannot lie. And so if his word says that that's what we have, then I believe it, because I believe God cannot lie, and I believe his word then is absolute truth. And so my rock provides me with stability, my rock provides me with security, and the final thing this morning, my rock provides me with life. Life. My star's alive. If you look over in the book of 1 Peter, you notice we got a rock theme going here, and we'll show you the scripture to back it all up. In 1 Peter chapter 2, down in verse number 4, it says, coming to him, coming to Jesus, all right, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. There's our emphasis again on the living stone. You see, our foundation is just not a dead piece of rock. It is a living stone. We put our faith into a living God. You know what? If we went to the Holy Land today and we were to check out all the tombs, you would not find Jesus there. He is alive. And you know what? I believe crime scene investigators, if you took old Grissom from CSI and all them other guys and gals, they could go over there, they could comb that tune all they wanted to, and they would never find the first inkling of DNA. Because when God raises something over the dead, there ain't even nothing left to prove that it was really there. Hell, I tell you something. We serve a powerful God who is alive. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Now listen here in verse 5. You, those of you who are born again believers, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Since we have put our faith on the living stone, then you and I are living stones. We're not a dead bunch of Baptists. We are alive in Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes I go into some churches where I feel like instead of preaching revivals, I ought to be preaching funerals, because they will sit out there and they get this look on their face. You know the look, like you just eat the green persimmon and you don't, you know, somebody's done licked all the red off your candy, and I'm just not even happy to be here. The only reason I'm here is because my wife has badgered me and told me I had to show up, or I'm afraid the pastor's going to knock on my door again, or you know what, the kids kind of, you know, made me feel guilty and made me come, or my mama and daddy said, well, you know what, I think it's about time you go because it's a special service. Listen, that's the way a lot of churches look. They don't come in, you know, ready to praise God. They act like they're serving a dead Savior. Listen to me. We serve a Savior that is alive forevermore, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. And because we serve a living Savior, because we're founded on the rock and it is a living stone, then when we come to Him, we too, according to the Scripture, are living stones also. Y'all, we need to act like we're alive. We need to act like there's something to be excited about. We need to act like serving God is a pleasure and not just something we have to do. My star is alive. You know, I remember there was the name is slipping my mind right now. The last name is Livingston, that was a missionary over in Africa. And they wrote a piece one time, and it was kind of interesting the way they penned it. They said, if a commission by an earthly king is something to be proud of, why do we consider the commission given by a heavenly king to be a burden? And unfortunately, that's the way a lot of churches act today. Oh, did I say churches? You know, this building can't act anyway. It's the people. That's the way a lot of God's people act. It's a burden to serve Jesus.
When we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we serve Him, we have stability, security, and life. And that should never feel like a burden for us. That's why I always like to begin every sermon I preach with, boy, am I excited. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you have that eternal life that we spoke about a little bit earlier? If not, do you know you can come to Jesus right now? It's as easy as ABC. A, you just have to admit or acknowledge that you're a sinner. Admit that you're lost. You know, someone who's making a drive across country and never stops and asks for directions, they feel like they're not lost, so they don't need to ask for directions. It's only until they can realize they're lost that they'll stop and get help. And that's the same way with someone who doesn't know Christ. They must first come to a point in their life when they can acknowledge and admit that they are lost. And then B, they have to put all their belief in Jesus Christ, knowing that He is the Son of God, knowing that He came to this earth and He lived a perfect sinless life for you and I to follow as an example, and then He freely gave up His life on the cross for you and I, and then 3 days later, God rose Him up victorious over death and the grave. If we believe that with all our heart and then see, we confess Him with our mouth. Jesus said, if you're ashamed to confess me before men, I'll be ashamed to confess you before the Father, which is in heaven. And see can also stand for commit. Commit our heart and our life to Him. He wants all of us and not just a part of us. If you'd like to know more about Jesus or more about how to be saved, visit my website at jamescroft.org or email me at evangelist@jamescroft.org, and I'll be more than happy to try to answer your questions for you. But maybe right now you know you need Jesus. No doubt in your mind. If you'll just simply pray a simple little prayer, something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm lost. I know I'm a sinner. And I believe in you with all of my heart. I ask you to come into my heart and save me from my sins right now. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And now help me to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you pray a simple little prayer just like that and you mean it with all your heart, do you know that the Bible says immediately Jesus will come in and save you from your sins? You'll be born again. Born again into the kingdom of God. What an exciting thing. What an exciting time. And if you've done that, if you've said that little prayer, email me so that I can rejoice with you. And maybe I can send you some links to some sites that will help you in your growth and your new walk with the Lord. Well, that's all the time we have for Walking with the Giant for this month. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for making us a part of your day. And I hope you're already making plans to join us again next month for another edition of Walking with the Giant. God bless you.
You have been Walking with the Giant, a monthly update on the ministries of the James Croft Evangelistic Association. Walking with the Giant is available as a free web download, or you can receive the program each month on CD. Visit us on the web at jamescroft.org, or for more information, call 386-752-1563. This program is made possible by the generous support of our listeners and by the unmeasured blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ.